Dit is Hour of Power. Van harte welkom op dit vroege tijdstip op de zondagmorgen, op een prachtige zondagmorgen. En ik hoop dat iedereen van deze uitzending vanuit de Christelijke Cathedral en Nederland zal genieten. Ik heb er een beetje op moeten aandringen om Els de Vries als gast vanmorgen in Hour of Power te hebben. Els is een van de vele kijkers van Hour of Power en vindt het leuk dat naast bekende Nederlanders ook gewoon kijkers vertellen wat Hour of Power voor hen betekent. En dan in de Crystal Cathedral, iemand die de hel van een concentratiekamp heeft overleefd, het jongerenkoor wat zingt en voor de rest veel muziek en een prachtige toespraak over wandelen in je eigen schoenen, Gods richting voor je leven kiezen. Dit is Hour of Power en we schakelen nu over naar de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Crystal Cathedral. We're glad you're here. Because you're here, we're going to all worship God together, and we're going to allow the Spirit of God's love to flow through us as we shake hands right now with people who are standing next to us and behind us. Shake their hands and say, God loves you, and so do I, and feel the love of God. So at this time, we're going to have a moment of prayer, and we're going to thank God for all that He's doing in our lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You're a God of miracles, that You're a God who comes and transforms lives. You're a God who leads and directs and gives us the guidance we need to be the people that You've called us to be. So open our eyes and give us the vision and the understanding of what we are with You, Your children. Amen.
Thank you. may be seated. Hear the word of God. Amazing. What wisdom is in this word. The words this morning are written by David, who was a poet and a musician, and sang his poetry in these words of praise. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on high places. Your gentleness, Lord, has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so that my feet did not slip. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. May God add His blessings to the reading of this His word. you, Don Newman. Thank you, choir, instrumentalists, organists. Well, we have different guests every week, and today I have one of the most distinguished guests I've ever had. He is one of the presidents of Christian universities in the United States, a little over 100 Christian schools, colleges, universities. But Clyde Cook has been the president of Biola College for 25 years, an amazing story, a very dear friend, and is not a stranger to be sitting in this church. So welcome the president of Biola University, Dr. Clyde Cook. Oh, wow. Let's get quick to a story. You were born outside of the United States?
Born in Hong Kong.
And lived in the Orient how many years before you came to America?
Well, we were in Hong Kong for 7 years and left there because of the Japanese attack on Hong Kong, December the 8th. Woke up early that morning at 8:05. We heard the siren go off and then the dive bombers followed right after that. We were between two batteries, one up on the top and one on the bottom, and bombs were falling all around our house, and so it was a very, very emotional time there. And then Hong Kong fell on December 25th, and we wound up in the concentration camp for 6 months, and then we were able to get out thanks to an exchange program between the diplomats and in America with the Japanese that got exchanged. We wound up in Africa, so.
You know, some people here don't even know the history. What was going on? You say the war. What war?
It was World War II.
Who was fighting who? Why? Yeah.
The Japanese bombed Hong Kong just 6 hours after they bombed Pearl Harbor. And because of the dateline, it was the 8th there. And so the surprise attack at Pearl Harbor then launched the U.S. into this war with Japan and its allies. So.
Wow. Were there people killed in Hong Kong?
Yeah. Hundreds and hundreds of people. Nobody thought that anybody would attack the British Crown Colony, the British Empire, but that was wrong. And it was devastating. We weren't prepared. We didn't have the planes and so forth. So we wound up in the concentration camp. But we had two meals a day, a little bowl of rice and a little bowl of soup. My mother was down to 90 pounds and would not have lasted just a few weeks without getting out. And, of course, nursing a 4-month-old baby at the same time. So we're very grateful. A third of the camp actually died of starvation. And so by the grace of God, we were able to get out. Regrouped the family in Africa. And my mother didn't know whether my father was dead or alive because he was in Canton, captured up there in prison. The elder three were up in Chifu, captured there. So my mother didn't know the father or the kids were dead or alive. And so a couple times a week in Africa, she would go to the Red Cross to see if there's any word of dad. And coming down from the Red Cross, she met my father on the street and had this wonderful reunion. And then my father, as soon as he got the family settled in South Africa, joined MacArthur, was part of the Pacific Campaign.
What a huge chunk of history came into your young life. Wow. And Jesus Christ was personal to you.
Actually, not at that time. You know, I was kind of riding on the coattails of my father and mother. It was in August the 10th, 1950, where I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Why? Yeah. What provoked that?
Well, I heard Jim Rayburn, the founder of Young Life, speak. And so he just shared the gospel in such a way. And I was just, I could speak the language, the jargon. I went to church, director of the youth group and so forth. But just because you're born in a garage doesn't make you a car. Just because you're born into a Christian family does not make you a Christian. I had to personally trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I did under his ministry. And life has never been the same. What a blessed Savior we have.
Yes.
I could just mention a couple things about my mother. The first image that I would share is when the bombs were falling, how she took us, the children, and put us under the staircase, and we could hear the bombs falling all around, shaking the house, and she'd read the Daily Light, we'd sing a song in Chinese, and then would sing, "He Leadeth Me." In fact, I can't hear "He Leadeth Me" anymore without, in the back of my mind, and the whole house just shaking here, and house just, townhouses just about 30 yards away got just obliterated. And I just see my mother and the calmness she had with bombs just shaking the house all around. And the second incident happened, Hong Kong fell on Christmas Day, and we had a week there, not knowing what to do, and the Japanese came around. And one Japanese came around, he was a believer, and he was an organist, and he was apologized for the war. And this asked if he could stay for devotions, and he played the piano while we had the devotion. But a big contrast, just a few days later, on New Year's Eve, a whole other group of Japanese came to demand that we send out the Chinese girls we were harboring in this house. And we had a fence around the house with a gate with a chain and a lock. And we wouldn't send these young Chinese girls out. And so they started pounding on the lock, and they just kept pounding and pounding and pounding. And I just remember as a child seeing my mother, Mrs. Cliff, push the sofa up to the door. And there they got down on their knees. And here were these two ladies just praying and asking God to spare us and to spare everybody in the house. And that image is very vivid in my life and heart today. Well, after an hour they left. And we went out the next morning and just touched the lock. And it just fell apart, disintegrated. It was as God had his hand on that lock and preserved our family. And how I thank him for that.
So you are retiring this year as president of Biola College, one of the great Christian colleges, universities in the world. And
thank you.
When I first was introduced to it 50 years ago, it was a good Bible school. But I don't think it was a great university. It has become that under you.
Well, under the grace of God and the wonderful faculty and the students that we've had, including your grandson, one of the two best students ever graduated from Biola. I don't say the best because Tom Leonard's up here somewhere and he's saying, well, what about me, you know, or my wife or Kyle or lots of other people could say the same. So even my wife, my wonderful wife, almost 50 years.
Stand up. We all wanted to see your wife and...
And her sister next to her and her husband. And isn't she beautiful? I even say, you know, she's one of the two best wives because my mother might be listening, or my daughter, or everybody here who's a wife. And this to last 25 years in this job, you try not to offend very many people.
So you're going to go out of Biola, you're going to become a diplomat for the United States of America, probably.
Right.
You are very diplomat.
And here's one of the two best preachers in the world.
Well, I do want to thank you for affirming my ministry these many, many years. Yeah. It's been very supportive. I needed it. And
thank you.
Thank you for it. Biola College, Biola University. What's the future of private Christian colleges like Biola?
I think it's very bright because, you know, we're living in a culture that says there's no absolute truth. And at Biola and so many other Christian colleges, we believe that God has revealed his absolute truth in his word. And so we have an anchor. We have something that brings all the disciplines together through the word of God. And so the contrast with the other schools that... I don't think you can be properly educated when you exclude the source of all truth and knowledge. God is the source of all truth and knowledge. And so we're providing a very important role there. And then I think the interaction with the culture. You know, Oz Guinness said Christians are vastly underrepresented in two areas, the media and in the universities. And Biola, with its excellent film program and its philosophy program, the largest philosophy program in the world, is making a difference in those two areas. So we won't be underrepresented in those two areas. And certainly you made a wonderful contribution, as has the Hour of Power, to making sure that word gets out through the media.
Well, thank you very, very much. So, God loves you, so do I.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take away sorrow and let us find this smile. The world with us all.
you, Carol. Thank you, kids, for coming and singing for us today. We really, really love the music. We love the Academy. Aren't they terrific? There's nothing better than listening to children sing.
Het enthousiaste jonge koor van de Crystal Cathedral. Allemaal kinderen die naar de kerk gaan en ook in het kinderkoor meezingen. En dat doen ze met groot enthousiasme. Light up the world with a song. Verlicht de wereld met een lied. Nou, gezongen hebben we ook bijvoorbeeld in Israël vorig jaar tijdens de Hour of Power reis. Er waren honderden deelnemers en een van was Els de Vries. Els, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen, Jan.
Hoe kijk je terug op die reis?
Die reis, dominee Schuller had al van tevoren geschreven: als je daar geweest bent, is je leven nooit meer hetzelfde. En ik wist niet wat ik me daarbij voor moest stellen, maar het is echt waar.
Ja?
Het heeft me zo aangegrepen, al die heilige plaatsen, die emotionele momenten die daar dan ook zijn. Ja, en dat ik thuis kwam en dat het niet meer over is gegaan. Dat ongelofelijke, schitterende, die plekken.
Ja.
Echt de heilige grond waar je op staat. Het is of de zwaartekracht wegvalt.
Ja.
Die is zo ontzettend mooi.
Ja, ik kan me herinneren dat je intens liep te genieten.
Eerst huilen.
Ja.
Overal werd ik emotioneel.
Ja.
En ik liep daarna enorm te genieten.
Ja.
En de liefde van de Heer Jezus, dat moet ik je eerlijk zeggen, heb ik daar zo intens gevoeld. Ik heb daar ook eigenlijk een reden voor gehad om naar Israël te gaan. Want ik werd geconfronteerd met een verschrikkelijke ziekte van mijn broer. Die werd door een hersentumor geveld. En toen dacht ik bid voor hem, maar ik wil op al die heilige plaatsen bidden. En toen zijn we midden op het meer van Galilea met 160 man in doodse stilte voor mijn broer gaan bidden.
Ja.
En dat heeft me zo aangegrepen. Zijn naam is over dat water uitgeklonken. En Jan, ja, ik werd zo ontzettend emotioneel. En toen was het alsof ik aangeraakt werd door God en het is niet meer overgegaan.
Ja.
En toen heb ik in stilte gezegd: Heere God, als u dit bidden hoort, niet verhoort, maar hoort, dan wil ik getuigen, dan wil ik vertellen dat u leeft en dat u er echt bent voor ons. En ik zei ook niet, uw wil, niet mijn wil, maar uw wil geschieden. Dus zo gaat het natuurlijk.
Ja.
Maar, en nou zit ik hier.
Ja.
En ik getuig en ik zeg het hardop hier. Hoe kan dat?
Ja.
Ik heb er niet om gevraagd.
Nee.
Ik ben er zomaar voor geroepen.
Ik heb het aan jou gevraagd.
Hoe kan dat?
Ja,
het is heel bijzonder.
Ja.
Ja.
Want in feite ben je een heel verlegen iemand, hè?
Ja, eigenlijk wel, ja. Nou, ja. Ik ben het wel, ja.
Ja.
En als het moet, weet je, als ik maar niet zo erg in de belangstelling sta, dan moet ik er mijn best voor doen om niet verlegen te zijn.
Ja. Een van de gesprekken die wij hadden in Israël, herinner ik, dat jij zei, we kijken zo vaak naar de buitenkant. En dat ik tegen je zei, wat ben je mooi van binnen en mooi van buiten. Dat je zei, oh ja. En dat we het hadden over binnenkant, buitenkant.
Ja, Jan, ik kwam van die reis en het is nog zo. Als je een sieraad om hebt, dat heb ik om. Dan zeggen mensen vaak, het mooi, hoe kom je daaraan?
Ja.
Maar ik heb nu een gevoel of ik door de liefde van de Heer Jezus en de reis een sieraad van binnen heb. Echt een sieraad van binnen. En als je dat moet laten zien, dan moet je wat laten stralen. Nou, en dat kun je doen door liefde te geven, door mooie dingen te zeggen. Door hier zo'n kraaltje te laten glinsteren. Ja, en dat gaat niet meer over.
Ja.
Dat vind ik zo bijzonder.
Wat is je droom?
Mijn droom, eigenlijk is mijn droom dat ik ga schilderen. Want ik heb een gave van God gekregen om te schilderen. Daar heb ik heel veel lessen ook van uitgegeven. En ik heb een droom dat ik zo kan gaan schilderen dat ik vanuit die beelden die ik maak weer kan getuigen dat dat van binnen van God komt.
Ja. Elsje maakt je droom ook waar, want je kunt fantastisch schilderen. Je hebt een schilderij meegenomen. Wat ik zie prachtige beelden van een zuil.
Nou, ik las in de Bijbel, je zult een zuil zijn in Gods tempel. En toen dacht ik, ga een zuil maken. En ik zie wel hoe dat wordt.
Ja.
En geen voorbeeld, gewoon een zuil. En die zuil die staat daar. En toen las ik weer de adelaar die dan over de aarde vliegt. In Openbaringen lees je dan, hij roept het volk op. Maak het goed, doe het beter. En jullie hebben uiteindelijk ook de adelaar altijd als symbool.
Ja.
En die vliegt daar. Ja. En zo is het geworden.
Ja.
En ik hoop daar heel, heel veel nog mee te doen. En dat iemand zegt, wat is dat? Hoe doe je dat?
Ja. Weet je wat ik zo mooi vind? Dat je bij alles straalt.
Ja?
Ja.
Ja, maar dat is dan weer dat sieraad van binnen, denk ik.
He? Een hoop mensen zien dat niet, voelen dat niet. Ik ontmoet wel eens mensen op straat of in een winkel of waar dan ook. En die zeggen, nou ja, als ik Out of Power heb gezien, dan voel ik me weer helemaal blij van binnen. En dan zeg ik, ja, maar blijft dat dan ook? En nou, daar hebben we wel eens moeite mee. Maar bij jou lijkt het dat je echt gelukkig bent.
Nou, ik moet eerlijk zeggen, als je heel druk bent met allerlei dingen, beslommeringen van alle dag, dan gaat het ook soms weg. Maar als je weet dat het er zit, dan roep je dat vlammetje weer op en dan wordt het weer een vuurtje. Maar als het er helemaal niet zit, ja, dan denk ik dat je echt moet gaan zoeken. En als je naar Out of Power kijkt, dan komt het zo geneeskrachtig, bijna prachtig. Die kracht komt binnen in je huiskamer en binnen in je hart. En dat gaat niet meer over. Het gaat echt niet meer over. En die Israëlreis, die heilige plekken allemaal, waar je dan loopt. Ik heb eerst, daar is mee begonnen, de Bijbel dus helemaal gelezen. Ik had zo'n stemmetje van binnen, ga dat nou eens lezen. Zonder dat iemand zegt, maar je moet het zo zien of je moet het zo zien. En ik heb het dus helemaal gelezen. En toen liep ik, als het ware, in die Bijbel op die plaatsen. Nou.
Ja. Ja, je noemt het al, meer van Tiberias, de berg van zalensprekingen. Aan de muur in Jeruzalem.
Ja, de Hof van Gethsemane.
Hof van Gethsemane.
En ik heb gedacht, dominee Schuller, kon je met het Jordaanwater ook dopen. Ik ben niet ondergedompeld, want ik ben gedoopt als baby. Maar ik dacht, ik wil het zo graag zelf beleven. Ja. En ik wil er ook getuigen.
Ja.
Ja. En toen heb ik me laten besprenkelen door dominee Schuller met Jordaanwater.
Stond erbij.
Nou, moest weer huilen hoor.
Lieve Els, ik vond het erg leuk dat je hier was. Ik moest je overtuigen, want eerst zei je, joh, ik heb niks te zeggen.
Nee, van, een
wat
beetje
moet
griezelig.
Ik nou? Ja, maar je hebt het geweldig gedaan. Dankjewel voor je inspirerende woorden. Ik heb twee verrassingen voor je. Het boek, het nieuwe boek van dominee Schuller, Ontdek Gods richting voor je leven. Dat in het Amerikaans heet het Walking in Your Own Shoes. Die geef ik jou vast.
Dankjewel.
Leg die maar even aan de kant. Ik heb nog iets leuks voor je. En dat is deze. Een van onze deelnemers heeft een dvd gemaakt van die reis. Twee dvd's zelfs. De reis van je leven is het geweest. Ik geef je graag deze dvd. In de voetsporen van Jezus.
Fantastisch.
En hou die voetsporen nog lang vol. Hè?
Ja, het blijft.
Ja,
dankjewel, Jan.
Want hij wandelt met je. Wij gaan terug naar de Christelijke Kwartier. Nog niet helemaal, want ik vertelde het net al, dat prachtige boek kunt u krijgen als u wilt overwegen om donateur te worden. En hoe dat gaat, vertellen we u graag.
Voor vele duizenden kijkers is Hour of Power een wekelijks moment van rust, inspiratie en bemoediging. Voelt u zich thuis bij Hour of Power? Vindt u het belangrijk dat Hour of Power Gods liefde verkondigt? En wilt u dat Hour of Power iedere week op televisie te zien blijft? Zou u dan ook donateur willen worden? Wij verwelkomen u graag in onze kring. Al met een klein bedrag per maand levert u een structurele bijdrage aan onze missie. Hour of Power is volledig afhankelijk van donateurs, dus uw steun is hard nodig. Als welkomstgeschenk sturen wij u dit boek, Ontdek Gods richting voor uw leven. Dit is het nieuwste boek van dominee Robert Anthony Schuller. Hierin beschrijft hij hoe wij onze persoonlijke roeping kunnen vinden en verwezenlijken. Donateur worden kan via www.hourofpower.nl of vraag informatie aan via 035 538 0588. Alvast hartelijk dank.
Als u trouwe kijker bent van Hour of Power, dan weet ik ook dat u veel waardering heeft voor onze programma's. En het is fijn als er nieuwe donateurs komen, want anderen vallen weg. En als u dat zou willen overwegen, nu krijgt u het prachtige boek Ontdekt. Gods richting voor je leven heeft het net gehoord en gezien. Ik hoop dat u aan onze oproep gevolg wilt geven. Wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. En daar wordt een prachtig lied, staand op de belofte van mijn Heer en God, instrumentaal vertolkt door het orkest in de Crystal Cathedral. Het is een arrangement van Johnny Carl. ¶¶
Yeah, we've been going through a series of messages entitled Walking in Your Own Shoes. And the subtitle is what I really want to point to today is Discover God's Direction for Your Life. That's the subtitle. And a lot of books, I would say maybe most books, you can really get the true message of the title when you look at the subtitles. Because walking in our own shoes is an important thing for us to do. The passage I want to give you to remember today is this. The very first verse in Psalm 127, it says this. If the Lord does not build the house, the builders labor in vain. Isn't that a powerful verse? If the Lord does not build the house, the builders labor in vain. It's vanity. It's for nothing. It's jumping rope without a rope. You're not jumping rope at all. You're pretending to jump rope. If you're building your life without God, you're not living. You're merely existing. That's why the subtitle of the book is Discovering God's Direction for Your Life. Putting God into the handiwork of whatever you're doing so that all of your labor is not in vain, it's not for vanity, it's not just lost, it's not just disappeared in the air in your labor. But it has value, it has meaning, it has substance, it has reality. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, says the Lord, then I will hear their prayers. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Here's the question I have for you. Here's the question. Is your labor done in the hand and the will of God so that what you do is not there for yourself but for the kingdom of God? Are we kingdom builders or are we individual builders? Can we look beyond ourselves and discover God's direction for our life so that we become part of the greater whole? Or are we simply looking out for ourselves, looking inwardly, and making sure that whatever we do is going to make me better? Greek mythology takes a look at and understands this, and many of you are familiar with the understanding of Narcissus, from which we get the word narcissistic. Those of you who plant gardens, you know the narcissus very well because it's a beautiful flower. It's probably one of those beautiful flowers you can plant in your gardens. But narcissism comes from the word narcissus, which is the name of one of the Greek gods who fell in love with himself and his image, and as a result of that, couldn't get beyond it. And it killed him. Not until we can get beyond narcissism to understanding that there is more to life than ourselves can we possibly understand the direction that God has for our lives. Because our text this morning is one that we need to remember, take to heart, and take with us on a daily basis so that everything we do is done for the glory of God. If the Lord does not build his house, the laborers labor in vain. Maybe a better way to, or another way to present this question is to ask it this way. When you go to work tomorrow morning, are you going to work or are you fulfilling God's destiny for your life? Now, what we might realize is that it's one and the same thing as far as the physical labor is concerned. It's one and the same thing. The difference is strictly a perception in our minds, in our hearts. If you're going to work and doing a job, you're going to work and doing a job. On the other hand, you can wake up in the morning and you can say, I'm not going to go to work and do a job. I'm going to go to my destiny and fulfill my calling. And then you get out of bed and you do the exact same things, but with a different frame of mind and a different concept and a different reality. And you're living for God, with Him being the laborer and allowing Him to give you the direction and the guidance, fulfillment that you wish to desire for your life. It's walking in your own shoes. The very first book of the Bible is a book that most people are familiar with. In fact, I think it is probably the most commonly read book in the Bible, because many people have the good intentions of reading the Bible and never get past the first chapter. Therefore, I think it is the number one read chapter in the Bible, Genesis. I see a bunch of people laughing. Is that a confession? And what's interesting about the book of Genesis is that the last 13 chapters, about 15% of the very first book in the Bible, deals with one man is by the name of Joseph. Joseph was one of 12 sons of Jacob, who also known as Israel. If somebody says, who is Jacob? He is Israel. Who is Israel? He's Jacob. Both the same guy. He's got two names. Joseph was the most favored of Israel, of Jacob. Jacob loved him more than the others, the Bible says. And as a result of that, his 11 older brothers didn't care for that very much. Maybe some of you can realize that. I mean, I think just about everybody thinks that mom and dad loves everyone else better than they love me. Right? That's the way it was with Joseph. And his brothers tolerated it to a certain extent until his father goes and buys him this beautiful jacket. Now, clothing in the time of the Bible wasn't what it is today. If you buy a piece of clothing, you have that the rest of your life, and in your entire lifetime, you may have only a few pieces of clothing. I know some people are getting really depressed with that thought. I could see it in your eyes. That's the way it was. Clothing was something that was extremely difficult to come by. And his father gave his son this gorgeous, gorgeous jacket with long sleeves, it says in the Bible. At the same time, Joseph is receiving these visions where he sees his brothers and his father and everybody around him bowing down to him. And he wasn't too smart. He went and he shared what his vision was with his brothers. Well, that got them mad enough where they decided that they were going to get rid of him, and they sold him to some slave traders that were coming by. They take his jacket, they shred it up, they throw some blood on it, and then they take it back to their father and say, this is what we found of Joseph. The lions or the bears must have gotten him. And they thought him dead. Well, the rest of the Bible goes through Joseph's journey from slavery to imprisonment to death row to excess to nothing, back to success again, and concludes with him actually becoming the second most powerful man in the entire world, second only to Pharaoh. Meanwhile, there is a famine, and his brothers come up to Egypt for food. And guess what they'll end up doing? They'll end up bowing before Joseph just as his vision was. And they come and they ask for forgiveness for Joseph for selling him into slavery. And here are the words I want you to hear for this. These powerful words. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? In other words, can I judge you? You intended to harm me. But God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. What others have intended for harm, God intends for good. And as we discover the reality of God's promises and His goodness, that when we put God in the center of everything we do, and when we allow God to build His house, this house, our bodies, our souls, our minds, our lives, the work we do is no longer in vain. Regardless of what you do tomorrow morning, regardless of what your labor is, when you put God in that labor, and you no longer decide to go to work and do a job, your labor has tremendous significance in ways you cannot possibly imagine. Because tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and you're not going to go to work and do a job. You're going to go to your destiny and you're going to fulfill your calling. And when God calls, you're going to go. And if people are intending things for harm and they're causing problems in your life and you come here today because you don't know what's going on, maybe you received news this week that you have cancer. Maybe your children have disappeared and you don't know where they are. Maybe you're struggling with your parents and they're having difficulties. Or in a nursing home. You may have buried one of them this week. Wherever God's course takes you, remember that what others intend for harm, God intends for good, and He's going to lead you and direct you and give you the desires of your heart in ways that you cannot possibly imagine, because you are not doing the labor God is. You know, there's tremendous words in this book, the Bible. And these words have tremendous power for us. And as we hold on to them, and as we realize their beauty for us, we will continue to know God in more beautiful ways. Love people in more unique circumstances. And serve the world diligently. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're doing today, tomorrow, and always. Amen. May the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit open your eyes and your heart and your minds to see Him building your life in a unique and a beautiful way. Amen.
Zo, we zijn aan het einde gekomen van deze uitzending van Hour of Power. En ik hoop dat je geweldig hebt genoten. En niet alleen dat er ook veel inspiratie in zat om de richting voor je leven te zoeken. Jozef, die zat in die put en die dacht, jongen, er komt niks meer van mijn leven terecht. En hij pakte het onderkoning van Egypte. Nou, dat is nog wel zijn carrière. En als je geloof hebt, dan kun je bergen verzetten, werkelijk waar. Wij nemen afscheid, zeggen graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power. Maar nog even, we hebben op onze website het gebed van de dag en de overdenking van de dag. Nou, wil je 's morgens enthousiast wakker worden, dan staat dat al op je computer. Je kunt het bij ons aanvragen. Kijk op www.hourofpower.nl. Iedereen, hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. We vinden het niet vanzelfsprekend dat we zoveel enthousiaste kijkers hebben. En daar zijn we erg blij en dankbaar voor. Een goede werkweek of een goede week toegewenst. Vooral aan de mensen die het niet zo makkelijk hebben. En graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.